Chapter 8 tonight, Revelation chapter 8, if you have your Bibles with you tonight. Hope you're having a good week, as I mentioned. And as we study through the Word of God, I hope you're taking time as we're studying through these different things, whether it be the book of Mark on Sunday morning or Revelation on Wednesday night, to study these things. And again, if you have questions, you know, maybe this is not quite the format at this moment to ask, but I hope you do ask, you know, if you have to say, I'm not sure about that, or tell me more about that, please let me know. And I might not have all the answers at the moment. I mean, there's a lot here. This is a lot. I'm really just kind of giving the highlights of a lot of this stuff. You can go deep. Sometimes come up dry, but you know, but you can go deep into this. But if you have questions, you'd like to know more about something, please let me know, and I'll do my best to answer those questions at a later time. But we're in Revelation chapter 8 this evening. And we're looking at the trumpet judgments, Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the angels which stood before God, and to them that were seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. All the environmentalists at that moment is going to scream with terror. There'll be no hope. And the second angel sounded, and it were a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And in the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many of the men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe! Woe, woe to the inhabitants of earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." Father, Lord, as we read these words, we're just really astounded at the magnitude that we can't even fathom with our limited capacity to understand what is coming for those who are left on the earth. What terror, what horror. It's past what we can even imagine. It's past what we've ever seen. But Lord, we know as sure as we're sitting here in this room tonight on a rainy night in Florida in September that these things are surely going to come to pass. I pray, God, you'd give us ears to hear, or help us to have understanding. Give me, Lord, the ability to properly explain these things to my best ability, so that these dear folks can come away from tonight, Lord, having a better grasp of your word. I pray, God, Father, that you'd be with us and guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see the trumpet judgments, Revelation chapter 8. What a horrible thing. But a little bit of humor before. A little bit of humor. I heard a story of a Baptist preacher and Presbyterian meet in a barbershop. And a Presbyterian said to the Baptist, "You know, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 8, which we just read, that there's going to be silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. How in the world are you Baptists going to survive?" Because you know Baptists like to eat and they like to talk. And the Baptist said, not to be outdone, well, dear brother, I hate to say it, but you know, you dear folks are so privileged, you Presbyterians. And he said, why, thank you. Why is that true? Because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. If you didn't get that, talk to me later. little humor. We see, first of all, the silent delay. Of course, as we've already looked at, you know, this we started out in Revelation chapter 4. John beheld, after he talked about those seven churches, for which, of course, Jesus gave the letters, seven letters to the seven churches. And we talked about those. We saw the throne room of God. Throne room of God, of course, was glorious. We saw that great rainbow over the throne of God. Then the next chapter, chapter 5, we began to look at, in that throne room was the Lamb. And there was a scroll. And nobody was able to open that scroll except for the Lamb, which, of course, is Jesus Christ. And he opened the scroll. When he opened the scroll, we said it rolls out like a scroll. And as it rolls out, it gets bigger and broader. And like these judgments, they kind of telescope. And we've looked at these vile judgments already, and they're worse. We've looked at all of those, but the last vile judgment, it is accomplished, as it comes to pass, it opens up the first of the trumpet judgments, and that's what we're seeing here in Revelation chapter 8. And because of that, we see what is coming. The seven trumpets are contained in the seventh seal. Seven seals. Through some events of the trumpet and bold judgments happen simultaneously, those of the sixth seal, it seems better to understand them as telescoping out of each other sequentially. Some people say, well, they're all going to happen at the same time, but most of the commentators that I've read, and much of what I share to you, I'm just reading several men, and thankfully we stand on several men who've already studied this. And I've read these things, and most of them believe that these things are not going to happen at once, but sequentially, one after another. They are terrifying to the hosts of heaven, are sobered in silence, and stand breathless in wonder. This has been referred to as a lull before the storm, yet God, in his mercy, is still reaching out to men and giving them time to repent and turn to Christ. Why silence? Well, there are several different possible reasons the commentators gave. It is silence at the beginning of the sabbatical rest or the millennium. Some said it was a literal silence because of the continuing heavenly songs, but it's a brief cessation in judgment. Others believed it was a temporary suspension of the revelations granted to John, or it's the pause in the heavenly praises allowed for the prayers of the saints to be heard. But as I underline this, most of the commentators, most of the Bible scholars believe this dramatic pause is to symbolize the awe and dread with which the heavenly hosts await the events about to happen, according to Thomas and his exegetical commentary. So this was kind of the pause before the storm, before something huge is about to happen. And sometimes you may have noticed that in your own life, when before something horrible, before something terrible, you know, maybe when you were a kid, you're about to get spanked, and before that belt hit you. Or I'm sure none of you guys got spanked. You never had your parents have to tell you to go outside and get that hickory switch and bring it back in. You know, and if you didn't get a big one, he would say, you go back and try again. None of you ever had that. You never had any of that. You guys are just too good. You know, you're just too good to ever have something like that happen. But, you know, right before it hit, you kind of like bunched up and you just braced yourself before the impact. This is what, in a sense, what's going here. This is going to be a horrible event. Many of the commentators said this is going to be the most traumatic event in the history of the world. It's outside the creation of God. So Zephaniah 1:7 refers to this: hold the peace of the presence of the Lord, for this is the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. And he bid his guests, Habakkuk 2:20, but the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silent before him. Why eternal heaven has no time. The Apostle John, who is seeing this vision, understands the seriousness of it. And you know when something is dreaded, when you're getting ready, some of you to get Some of you, as you've told me, I'm getting ready to get some work done, like you're getting ready to go to the doctor's. And you're getting ready to have that test. In those moments right before your gums or your teeth are getting ready to be drilled on, or you're getting ready to take that exam, it seems like those moments are just, they're really just the same as any other moments, but they seem like they last forever, don't they? They seem like they last for eternity. Imagine here, silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour, as really all creation pauses for this terrible event. So we see the silent delay that we have. We will see, secondly, the solemn details. What's actually going to happen? What's actually going to happen? Well, there's trumpets going to be. There's seven trumpets. Trumpets were used in various ways in the Bible. First of all, some to summon worship. You see these a lot through the Old Testament. Joshua, they use it throughout when moving the children of Israel. Times of worship, times of warfare, times of movement. The words, it's the summon word of news. So trumpets were used throughout the scriptures. I read each of the seven trumpets unleashes a specific judgment of greater intensity than the first seals, but not as destructive as the seven bowls which are to come. The first four trumpets destroy the earth's ecology. The second produced demonic destruction of humanity. And the seventh trumpet introduced the final outpouring of God's wrath contained in the seven bowl trumpets. So again, sequentially, these judgments are getting worse and worse and worse. So we see the silent delay, the solemn details, and the saints' desire. And we see what is talked about here in verse 3 is this offering by the angel. What is this angel? It says, there's another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and it was given to him much incense, and he should offer it with the prayers and all the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. Now, some people, as I read, they thought possibly, is this Jesus? And throughout the Old Testament, you did find times where we see the phrase, the angel of the Lord. It's called a Christophany, an early appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. I believe when there was Sodom and Gomorrah and judgment was coming, there was an angel, I believe it was three angels actually came and spoke to Abraham. I believe possibly that been a time when Jesus came and spoke to Abraham. And there's other times throughout the scriptures. Some said possibly when Samson's mom was being spoken to, that could have possibly been an angel of the Lord. It could have been Jesus. There's several times throughout the scripture. But why is this probably not the angel of the Lord? First, Christ is already identified in the heavenly scene as a lamb. Second, Jesus is nowhere identified as the angel in the New Testament because he's already come. He's already come. He's already been described as the lamb. Now he's not the angel. And then other angel refers or means an angel the same kind as verse 2. It says in verse 2, and I saw seven angels which stood before God, to them that were set, given seven trumpets. So it's the same kind like these. Probably cherubim, like we've seen before in the past. And finally, everywhere he appears, Jesus appears in Revelation, he is clearly identified. So when Jesus is seen throughout the scriptures, he's clearly identified as Jesus Christ, as the Lamb. So we see in verse 3, another angel came and stood before the altar having this golden censer. We see this angel, just an idea, conceptual idea of what this angel possibly could have looked like. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 8, and it came to pass that while he was executing the priest's office before God in the order of his course, this is Zacharias, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. When he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. While the people stood outside praying, Zacharias burned incense inside, symbolizing the ascending of the prayers to God. Of course, we know this all goes back to the temple in the Old Testament. The purpose of the angels being given the incense was so that they might add it to the prayers of all the saints already rising from the altar. Those prayers were for Satan to be destroyed, sin to be defeated, and the deaths to be avenged in Christ to come. Of course, again, it's a picture of the Old Testament. The Old Testament priests, there was an altar of incense inside the temple. John notes the angel came and stood at the altar. The altar's heavenly counterpart is the altar of incense inside the temple, which was made of gold. It was the same golden incense altar seen by Isaiah in his vision, and Ezekiel in his vision. On the Day of Atonement, which was once a year, incense was placed on the coals in the censer by the high priest. He would enter the Holy of Holies with the blood sacrifice. In this setting, the angel put incense on the altar and cast the coals from the altar to the earth. So just a kind of visual idea of what that would be. So we see the silent delay, the solemn details, the saints' desire, and finally, the last part, of course, the most horrible part, the society's dilemma. What actually was happening here? What actually happened? Well, first of all, the first of these trumpets, the first of these judgments was an agriculture judgment. We see in verse 6 and 7, the seven angels which held the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. After the half hour of silence, judgment was coming. And it says the first angel sounded, there followed hail mingled with fire, with blood, and they were cast on the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and the green grass was burned up. Wow. Joel 2:30 says, and I saw wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Wow. The judgment is similar to what happened in Egypt. The difference between Egypt and this event, of course, in those days, in the days of Egypt and Moses, God was trying to save Israel. This is actual a clear time of destruction for the inhabitants of the earth. The judgment will greatly affect the food supply, weather patterns, housing, paper industry, farming, ranching, massive losses to vegetation. Of course, because of that, there's going to be floods, soil erosion, diminishing food supplies, and mudslides. Can't imagine. Next, it says there's a second judgment, an oceanic judgment. It says there, after the first and the second angel sounded, and there were great mountains burning with fire cast on the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and third part of the creatures were in the sea, and the life died, and third part of the ships were destroyed. There goes your seafood. There goes your fishing. There goes your seafood. And we know in the Old Testament, remember Moses touched his staff, and the Nile turned to blood. Thus saith the Lord, if this thou shalt know that I am the Lord, because I will smite with the rod that is mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. Wow. Can you imagine that? Imagine the stench. Some of you guys work in the medical field. You know the smell of blood? That acid smell? It's very horrible. Can you imagine imagine not just a river, imagine the sea be turned to blood. Wow. Can imagine it. The third judgment, the aquatic judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 18, lest there should be a man among you, man or woman or child or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of the nations. There should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. There's a third judgment. An angel sounded, and the great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, fell upon the earth, part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they became bitter. This star fell from heaven. Called wormwood. A star or meteor falls from heaven, turns one-third of the rivers and springs bitter and poisonous. The name of the star is called Wormwood, meaning bitter or undrinkable. Wormwood is the bitterest herb known to man. It paralyzes, causes convulsions, and kills. In the Old Testament, it was synonymous with sorrow and calamity. You ever drink it? You ever drunk something that was just nasty and bitter, and it leaves a bitter taste in your mouth? Imagine all the rivers here, a third part of the water is going to be this great meteor or star is going to fall, and a third part of all the waters will become bitter. Wow. How horrible it will be for those on the earth, left in the earth. And then the next judgment, the fourth trumpet, an astronomical judgment. Joel chapter 2, verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. The angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and night likewise. It's going to be getting dark. Some parts of the world, we know the northern hemisphere, like Alaska, it's dark for much part of the year. But imagine always living in the dark. There's something nice about standing outside in a sunny day and enjoying the sunshine, isn't it? But imagine the sun and the moon and the stars being darkened, and they shone not part for third part of the day, and the night likewise. Wow, what a horrible thing that would be. Can you imagine that? Talk about terror. Think about people trying to figure out what's going on. Can you imagine at that time what the evolutionists are going to say? Well, I thought things are supposed to be getting better. I thought things are supposed to be improving. I think things are supposed to be getting brighter and brighter and better and better. No, folks, things aren't getting better. Things are going to get a lot worse. Actually, this entire world is going to be destroyed, and everything in it. You can recycle till you can't recycle no more, friends, but it's not going to matter. Because God Himself is saying, I'm going to burn it up with fervent heat. I'm going to destroy it. I'm not saying you don't try to take care of God's earth. I'm not saying go out there and destroy everything and become crazy. But I'm saying is balance. Balance is key in all things. Balance is key. But folks, we've got great judgments coming. What do we get out of this? Well, I was thinking about all these judgments that are coming. And I thought about this verse in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now's the time. In the day of provocation, the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, there was a day where God was testing His people. He was trying His people there in the wilderness. He was trying to get them to see the truth before it was too late, before judgment was come. And we as believers, now's the time in our life that we shouldn't harden our heart when God speaks to us in this time of grace, when we still have opportunities to grow in God and reach people with the gospel. Now's the time, because these judgments are surely coming. So our heart hopefully is not hard to the things of God. Hopefully they're soft to the things of God. When God speaks to you through His word, through your devotions, through circumstances, through people, and God is doing that right now. He's working in this age of grace in people's lives where you still have a chance to grow in your relationship. We have opportunity to minister to one another, encourage one another. We still have time. Humanity still has time. But just like for 120 years, Noah preached, the preacher of righteousness, one day those doors closed and the rain fell. And everybody and everything that had breath outside those doors perished. There's a day coming where this is going to happen. And people will be wondering why. They'll be crying out and they'll be screaming. And there'll be people, yes, thankfully, that will turn and get saved. But dear friend, now is the time to warn people. That's why we're going out on Saturday passing out tracts. Because think about those 18-year-old and 24-year-olds. If the Lord comes, they're going to be, many of them will be going through this right here. They'll be going through the judgments and how horrible it's going to be. Now is not the time to harden our heart. Now is the time to have hearts that are soft towards God and desiring that other people turn to Christ before it is too late. Because, dear friends, there's a day coming where it's going to be too late. Father God, I pray that You'd help us tonight. So we've seen these horrible trumpet judgments that are coming. And Lord, there's, as we've already mentioned, there's even worse things coming in the future. God, as we look at these things, God, help us, Lord, to be able to say, hopefully to you, there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. May it be true of us, Lord, that by the grace of God, that Lord, our hearts are tender towards you, are tender towards the truth, are desiring to know you more, especially this group here on who comes on Wednesday night whose hungers and thirst for righteousness. I pray, God, that you'd help us to stay soft and tender to your working. God, I pray, Lord, for there's things in our life that shouldn't be there that you'd show us and would remove those things. I pray, God, if there's an area of struggle or strife between us and another brother or sister in Christ, by the grace of God, we choose to do all we can to remove those hindrances, those harmful things, Lord, so we can clearly do your work in these last days. How needy our world is. How dreadful the judgment is to come. Oh God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to live for you like you are coming today, because you could come back today. And the Antichrist would come. The peace treaty would be signed. And soon these horrible judgments would come upon this earth. Oh God, give us a little more time of grace so the gospel can go out to these millions of people in our world, even in our state, who need the gospel before it's too late. Maybe with head bowed and eyes closed, maybe with someone to say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? Some things in my life that I've been struggling with. Some things in my life I've been wrestling with. Would you pray for me that by the grace of God, I can work on these areas of my life? Oh, things I need to change, maybe relationship with other people. I'm working on them. I'm struggling, but I want to stay soft and tender to God's will for my life. I want to be pliable. I want to be used by Him. I want to do His will while I am here. Would you pray for me that I would continue doing His will and to be used of Him while I have the opportunity? Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Pray God would help us. Give us opportunity to be used of Him while we have time. And as God gives us opportunity, may we warn those who, even our brothers and sisters in Christ, help us to go with humility. Help us to go in meekness and tell those and encourage them to live for Jesus before it's too late. And for those who are not saved, help us to warn them before the judgment destroys their lives. As the invitation plays, do business with God. If you'd like to come make this an old altar, you're welcome to come tonight.